Well, Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. It is the time of Tabernacles, and of course, many of the people that would be listening are already out at Sukkot somewhere. But for those of you that maybe you're new to all this and you didn't make plans for Sukkot, well, there's a year that'll be happening between now and next Sukkot. So make sure that if you're just, you know, maybe you just found all this stuff here recently, make sure that you start planning now for the next festivals. Of course, the first one will be Passover sometime in April. But for us, it's last minute packing and preparation, and you know, we made the list and we're checking it twice. And oh, wait a minute, that's a different holiday that we're not supposed to observe anyway. But yeah, we're checking the list and making sure that we've got everything. For us, it's a little bit easier. We're only going to be about five or six miles from our house. So if we forgot something, no big deal. We can come back and get it. But for many people that are, meeting various places all over the country, all over the world for this time of Sukkot, we bless you. We speak blessing upon your time together, and that it would just be an incredible time for everybody as we gather together for this awesome time called the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week, of course, as we look to Leviticus chapter 22, verse 26, through chapter 23, verse 44, Numbers chapter 29, verses 12 through 16, also Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 21, and Revelation 21, we'll have a good time there, verses 1 through 7. A little bit of announcement, I'll make this again next week since we have a number of people that are away from their computers this week, is that, of course, next week will be my last Torah video for a little while as I take a sabbatical, new word, in the next year and this is my seventh Torah portion, the Torah cycle that I've gone through, so next year I'll be taking a year off. But a lot of people have emailed, have emailed and said, you know, you want something. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. As soon as I can, it'll be after Sukkot, so it may not be all together the first week or so. But what my plan is to go back to previous year, every week, to go back to previous years as far as the written commentary, which of course I do that sometimes anyway, and post that in a newsletter form. And also, I have all of last year on video. All of these videos, I have the complete last year, and so I'm going to post those up on the web. And so newsletter will be going out on Tuesday the same way. There'll be a disclaimer on there that says, of course, this is from last year, which means the political things, the current events won't be quite as current. So that, for those of you that just want the torture of listening to me again, well, that's what we're going to do. All right, so again, I'll be making that announcement again next week and going from there. Well, let's go first of all to Leviticus. And in Leviticus chapter 22 and 23, we see the heart of the commandments about keeping the festivals. Now, I remember years ago at Assembly of God Church, a pastor standing up and teaching on Leviticus chapter 23 and told about all of the feasts and festivals and the prophetic meanings and all these things. And then the end of the message, we went out to the restaurant, right? It was like, okay, well, here's how it works, but we're not going to do anything. And I really kind of felt a little empty in the end, because as we came to the end of it, I thought, he came to the end of the message, well, if there's so much meaning there, why aren't we doing anything? Why aren't we observing these things if there's so much meaning? Well, because, and this is a judgment call, yes, but in most of Christianity, it's about understanding. I had a conversation with someone the other day about this subject, is that go back to Exodus, and it teaches us, as the people are standing there at Mount Sinai, and they are hearing these words, they say, we will do and we will understand. Okay, here's the big difference between Western thought and Eastern thought, between modern day Christian thought and Hebraic thought, is that in our Western mindset, We want to understand something, and then we'll do it. Okay? If you, whatever you're doing. Okay? Well, I'm going to go out and study about it. I'm going to read about it. I'm going to understand this subject, and then I'm going to do something. Well, that's not scriptural. The scriptural concept is that through the doing will come the understanding. And for anyone that's been around for a while, you know that concept. Okay? How many of us understood Shabbat first and then started doing it? No. It's through the doing comes the understanding. It's the growth, growing into these things, wearing the fringes, eating kosher, all of these things. Why should we be doing these things? Because the scripture says that we are to do it. If we receive understanding out of it in the end, that's just kind of the icing on the cake. The basis, I mean, the truth is that why should we be observing any of these things? Because it tells us to in the scripture. Case closed, okay? Put an exclamation point on there. That sentence, that paragraph, that book is over. The very fact that he says for us to do these things is the reason that we do them. Now, with that, he does bring forth understanding to us, which is what he tells us he will do as we do this. All right? So maybe you're not in a position to go and go to Oklahoma or to Iowa or wherever, or Seattle, and celebrate Sukkot with a group of people. So how do you do this? What do you do to begin somewhere? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, and it says, "But on the 15th day of the seventh month," this is verse 39, "you are to have gathered the produce of the land. You're to observe the festival of Yah 7 days. The first day is to be complete rest, and the eighth day is to be complete rest." Okay, it says 7 days, but then it talks about an eighth day. What's up here? The festival of Sukkot is actually a 7 day, but then there is a day that's tacked on to the end. It's called Hoshana Rabbah, which is the day of great rejoicing. It's kind of like this, that the Almighty is saying, okay, I want to spend a week with you. As Genesis chapter 1, he spent a week, 7 days, in completing a task. He desires for us to spend a week with him, but it's like at the end of it, he's saying, well, you know, since we're having such a good time anyway, let's just go ahead and hang out another day. All right, let's just stay together for another day. And so we have that eighth day, the day of Hoshana Rabbah, the day of great rejoicing. And this is something that many people, they don't do, okay? When we go to Sukkot, when we do a Sukkot, what ends up happening is that last day ends up, but well, let's tear down the tents and let's go because we got to get back home and stuff. No, that's the big day. The eighth day is the big day. Don't allow that. It says that we are not to do any kind of work on that day. It is a day to observe of complete rest in his presence. All right, so don't allow that eighth day to just kind of be taken away from us. So if let's say you're new, okay, and so you've never done any of these things. First of all, what you can do is, now for us, we go off the sighting of the new moon. So this Shabbat, this Saturday, okay, the 25th, is the first day of Sukkot. That would make the next Friday night to Saturday, you know, Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. That's going to make that the eighth day of Sukkot. All right? So what do we do to start? We observe the first day. We observe the last day. Okay, we take those as days of rest and rejoicing before him. Well, that's easy, especially this year, off the sighting of the new moon, because it's Shabbat anyway. Let's keep reading. On the first day, you're to take choice fruit, palm fronds, thick branches, river willows, and celebrate in the presence of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, for 7 days. Okay? So we are to take these things, and there's, you can go on the web and you can type in Lulav and Estrog. That's L-U-L-A-V. Estrog is E-S-T-R-O-G. Or type in these things that are right here, and it'll come up. There's a great study that's here about the different kinds of people that's being spoken about with these different offerings, okay? Now, you're to observe it as a feast for 7 days in the year. It's a permanent regulation, generation after generation. Keep it in the seventh month. Okay, here's another part of it. You are to live in Sukkah for 7 days. Every citizen of Israel is to live in a Sukkah, so that generation after generation, you will know that I made the people of Israel live in Sukkah when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Adonai, your Elohim. All right. So we are to, many scriptures say we are to dwell in a Sukkah. Okay. So maybe you don't have a tent. You're not going to be able to go somewhere, you know, whatever the case. All right. Begin. All right. Make a beginning to this. Maybe you can go out in the backyard, set up your picnic table, and have your meals out there. Okay? Spend some time during the day. Spend some evening time outside. Okay? Dwelling in the stars. Enjoying the creation that He has given to us. Okay? Sukkot is about getting out of the four walls of our house and getting back out to His creation. We see things when we're there. We look up to the stars. We notice all of this that's around us. And we start to see the wonders of His incredible presence, the wonders of His creation, as we are out there forcing ourselves out of our little drywall cocoons and into something that is, you know, I mean, look around us. One of the things that has been that has made this video series very different for many people is that most of the last year there's been some times, and especially around the tornado and when it was really cold and that type of thing, but for the most part I try to videotape outside. Well, right now with our office the way it is, we have outside is right there. And many people have emailed and said, you know, it looks so beautiful behind me. And it is. It's just absolutely incredible out here because we're out in the middle of nature. Okay? We're out in the middle of His creation. So Sukkot really takes us out there and allows us to reconnect in a way with His creation. When we see His creation, we see the gospel message. We start to see things a lot more clearly. So this is a time that we are to rejoice before Him. We are to present an offering before Him, whatever that may be. I mean, not everybody's going to... This doesn't necessarily mean that you need to give an offering of money, all right? At our Sukkot that we'll be leaving for, probably tomorrow night I'll be on out at the lake. That'll be Thursday night. We'll start, we'll get there a day early. But... for our scope, we had one of our folks that slaughtered a lamb, or not a lamb, a goat, and they made goat sausage for us. So Saturday morning Sunday morning, we're going to wait until Sunday morning because we don't want to do a lot of cooking and creating and stuff on Shabbat. So Sunday morning, we're going to do a Southern style breakfast. We're having a goat sausage, and we're having farm fresh eggs and hoe cake and cane syrup. And you can't show up. We don't have enough for you. Now, if people show up, we'll feed them to a certain level. Of course, we'll have some grits and things. So, you know, we have people are bringing, and I've asked people to bring different things for their offering, okay, to come before the community. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, we read these words a few weeks ago. When you have come to the land that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, is giving you, you're to approach the Kohen. This is verse 3, holding at the holding your office at the time, say, today I declare to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, that I have come to the land. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh swore to our ancestors that he would give us, and we are to present the basket of our offering. And this is a Sukkot thing right here that he's talking about. And you say, well, we're not in the land yet. That's right. We're practicing. Okay? And this is what the festivals are all about. Okay? It is about practicing. It is about this cycle that we go through. As David said, lead me in the paths of righteousness. Well, that's not what the word means. The word paths there is cycles. Lead me in the cycles of righteousness. So David was saying, allow me to see year after year, year after year, the awesome wonders of the cycle of righteousness called the festivals from Passover, Pesach, to Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're doing the same thing as we are practicing. We are rehearsing for a time that is coming. All right? Now, as we come together for Sukkot, what are we practicing for? There is, of course, when you get a group of people like this together, there is, of course, a tendency to dwell on current events, on political climate, on what's happening in Israel, and on the tribulation. But I would like to, I have some on my glasses here, I'd like to give you a little different thought here. That Sukkot is not about dwelling, though there can be teaching on it, okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but Sukkot should not be about dwelling on the tribulation. I do believe that there's going to be a time of tribulation. There'll be a time of great tribulation in there, which we believe is 3.5 years. I tend to hold to the teaching that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. 3.5 years is going to be a great tribulation. And Messiah said it's going to be worse than any time that's ever been upon the earth or would ever be, in Matthew chapter 24. So, the tendency is to dwell upon. Okay, nothing wrong with teaching, but I'm talking about dwelling upon. The whole theme of Sukkot sometimes turns into current events, politics, and tribulation. I'd like to give you a different thought. That the time of Sukkot is not about dwelling on the tribulation. The time of Sukkot is about dwelling on the period after the tribulation. After that 7 years, 3.5 years, whatever your theological bend is on that, there's 1,000 years. 1,000 years called the millennial kingdom. A time in which, as I wrote about, there will be no wars, there will be no rumors of war, there will be no famine, I guess unless you don't observe the Feast of Tabernacles and you don't get any rain in your land. It could have some detrimental effects there. There will be no... It'll be a time in which you go to a restaurant and there'll be pages out of the menus because there won't be a page for pork and shellfish. There'll be no question of whether the salad has bacon bits on it. There won't be any Christmas trees. There won't be any Easter bunnies. There won't be Halloween. I mean, consider that one just for a moment. There will be no Halloween. You know, this year during Sukkot, Halloween's the end of October, not the beginning. I thought it was the beginning for a second. But there'll be no Halloween. I walked into the store the other day, and there's Halloween stuff. There's this, Lowe's has this skeleton thing that's kind of motion-activated, so when you walk by it, it starts talking to you. I threatened to shoot it the other day, and the clerk said, go for it! Wish I could have. At least unplugged the silly thing. But I hate that time. In the millennium, you won't have any of that. Okay? It's not going to be there. We're not going to have the paganism. We're going to be back to Shabbat. You know what Sunday's going to be in the millennium? A day to work. Okay? Shabbat is going to be incredible. 1,000-year Shabbat. Just consider that for a moment. 1,000 years of Shabbat. 1,000 years of entering into His rest. A time in which the Messiah Himself will lead us in the feasts and festivals. We won't be discussing whether it's the sighted moon or the conjunction of the moon. We won't be discussing if Passover is the 14th or the 15th or whenever it is. We won't be discussing all of these things because the Torah will be teaching us the Torah. He will, seated on the throne in Jerusalem, He will be taking us through the feasts and festivals. And I submit to you, in that day, it'll be the first time that it will be done right. Until then, we're practicing. We're doing. And through our doing is coming understanding. For a lot of people, it's going to be a major shift. Because there are people sitting in churches today that are redeemed. But when it comes to the Torah, they've been taught. It's done away with. Now it's been replaced with something different. Now don't look at that stuff in Leviticus chapter 23. That's all done away with. We now have Christmas and Easter. And for those people, it's going to be quite a tough learning curve to get there. You know, if you've gotten a computer program or something like that, it's something new. You know what it's like to have a learning curve. And there's some things that have a kind of a small learning curve. There's others that have a huge learning curve. But what I want to do is walk into the millennium in such a way that I have already rehearsed and observed to the point that I understand the basics of these things. So that when I get into the millennium, the learning curve is just kind of a nice, easy slope up and slope down. For others, it's going to be this steep, steep slope, trying to unlearn everything. And that's part of it today, is we're unlearning as much as we are learning. So that's my desire, is to get into the time of the millennium with this with a small learning curve. And we do that through our practicing these days. Every year we come together and we practice. But Sukkot is about something far, far greater than that. And, you know, when Moses is recording Leviticus chapter 23, when he's recording over in, Numbers chapter 29, he's writing things down. And we really don't know. Numbers chapter 29, starting in verse 12. We really don't know how much Moses understood. Did he understand more than some people believe? Yes. Did he understand everything? I don't think so. I think that Moses was probably recording things and writing things and speaking things that after he got finished, he probably just kind of got by himself once in a while and said, you know, what is all the meaning of this? What you know, I would imagine that Moses, during some times by himself, would have just sat and meditated on the festivals. As he looked at the animals being slain and all that was going on, I think Moses would have just meditated and said and thought to himself, you know, I know that there's more here, but I just don't understand it. Today, we sit in a pretty incredible place in that because of the rest of the book, we have an understanding that is far greater than what was revealed to Moses. Now, The problem lies in that too many people have come to a conclusion that because we have everything all the way to the end of Revelation, that we know it all. There's this tendency with many people to, I know the Hebrew and I know this and I know that and I've got it all figured out. And you know, the day that you come to the conclusion that you've got it all figured out is the worst day of your life, because in that day you quit learning. Scripture is being opened to us today. Look at Daniel. Daniel was told, you're not going to understand these things. Hey, what you've seen, you're not going to understand it. But in the last days, you're going to understand. The 12 boys, the 12 tribes, as Jacob laid his hands upon them and said, these are the things that shall come upon you in the last days. Is Jacob confused? Or is Jacob prophesying something that those 12 boys, I don't think they had a clue. I think he just kind of went, okay, whatever, Dad, you know. But today it's been revealed to us. Because we live in this moment in time that the Scripture calls the last days. But understand that the way that you and I saw things a year ago or 10 years ago, maybe we saw a little piece of it. Did we get stuck there, refusing to move on? Or did we see the piece of it and say, okay, that's a seed? Okay, right now, as I'm recording, Kathy's been out. Kathy and Daniel were out this morning as I was preparing. We're starting to do our fall garden. And actually, Kathy's out at the table right now sorting seeds out to plant today. You know, if all you do is dwell on the seed, you just kind of, you know, sit and hold the seed, you'll never see fruit. You got to take the seed and plant it and let it become something. Let it become more than it is. Okay? Everything that needs to be is in that seed. Okay? All the lettuce and the broccoli and the everything that's being planted, everything is there in the seed. But you have to plant the seed and then fertilize the seed and water the seed and protect these plants as they come forth to enjoy the fullness of it. What our tendency is to do when we see something in Scripture is to examine the seed instead of planting it and then allowing it to become what it's supposed to be. Okay? This is how we get stuck in things. Now, with that, okay, let's move on. The time of Sukkot is not even to me about the millennium, really. Because, see, as insignificant as 3.5 or 7 years is of tribulation, this is why I don't get involved. I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. There's nothing I can do to change it anyway. So if it's 7 years or 3.5 years or whatever, you know, I just want to be prepared to the best I can to live through it, right? Because I know what's at the end. As insignificant as 3.5 or 7 years is, as opposed to 1,000 years, think about how insignificant 1,000 years is as compared to eternity. So, just how long is eternity? Okay, we've got, let's see, 6,000 years of creation, or since creation. We've got 1,000 years in front of us of 7,000 years compared to eternity. Wow. I don't have a box for that one. Okay. Oh, well, you know, in that day we'll be outside of time. Who said that? In Isaiah 66, it says we will come before him from one Shabbat to another and one new moon to another. And this is in eternity. Okay? So to have Shabbat, you have to have time. Because to have Shabbat, you have to have days. You can't have the seventh day without the sixth day. The 6 days. Okay, so we still have time. We still have a new heavens, a new earth. We have the moon. We have cycles that are happening. I would like you to consider that that which we are rehearsing and doing today will be done all the way. We will continue for eternity to look at His redemptive plan. And it will never become boring. You know, 5,000 times of the Passover story, it will never become boring to us, because it will be telling us how we got there. Eternity. That's what Sukkot's about. Moses did not have the ability to turn the scriptures to Revelation, which I'd like to do and read these. But today, we have the ability. We have the responsibility. We have the honor of turning the scriptures. Grab your Bible. Revelation chapter 21. See, the time of Sukkot's about rejoicing, right? It's about dwelling with Him. It's about the marriage covenant being complete. It's about this book being complete. That everything that's here has now been restored to better than new. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had passed away. The sea was no longer there. Also I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "See, God's Shekinah, His glory is with mankind, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and He Himself, Elohim with them, will be their Elohim. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, crying, or pain, because the old order has passed away." If there's a scripture that should be the focus, the theme of every Sukkot, no matter where you're observing it, no matter how you're observing it, no matter how many people you're with or not with observing it, if there should be one scripture that should be the focus of it, it's right there. It's right there. Make sure that during these 8 days of Sukkot, that's the scripture that you dwell on. That is what you get in your spirit. Quit looking for the tribulation. Look past it to the millennium and beyond. Oh, that, I got a trailer to pack. I got stuff to do. I got things to put together so that I can get to Sukkot. Shabbat Shalom. Have a wonderful, blessed week. Chag Sameach. God willing, we'll see you next week. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Vayasem lecha shalom.